This evening, go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 30. That'll be our starting point this evening. Proverbs chapter 30. Just want to begin by thanking everybody for the encouraging words this evening. I appreciate everybody that did show up, even though it was announced that I would be speaking this evening. I told Rusty a little bit ago, boy, with the brothers that we have here, they really build you up. So I again appreciate the opportunity to speak before you, and again, I appreciate the opportunity to speak. I even thought it was funny, a minute ago I looked and my own mother didn't even show up tonight to hear me preach, so, you know, it is what it is. I don't blame her. Go somewhere else. But I'll try to do the best I can this evening, and maybe we can all learn from some things that I've looked at over the past few nights and definitely applies to me. But because of Greg's threat to Rusty this morning, he said he told Rusty that it was only 15 minutes that he had, but he doubled it and went over. So he looked at me and told me what I had, so I'm going to try to abide by that. But as many of you know and have gone through with the experience as you get a little bit older, we begin to have eye problems. And it's never become more obvious to me than probably the last year that has gone on. The other night, Hannah and I went out to eat at Applebee's for a little father-daughter date night. I go in there, and I forgot to bring these. Walk in there, and as you know, many of the restaurants are dimly lit, and the menu's words seems to get smaller and smaller. Well, I was pretty much paralyzed. I couldn't see anything. And Hannah had to read the menu to me, and then had to read the check at the end to make sure I was writing the right numbers on the receipt that I paid the right thing. But it's really a problem. And now it's so bad that everywhere I go, it's one in my car, there's one in my office. Just wherever I go, I'm making sure I've got extra reading glasses. So I have an eye problem. But you know what? Even though I've got an eye problem that's physical, I want us to take another look tonight. Proverbs chapter 30, there's another kind of eye problem that I have. And I wonder if it's all something that we all struggle with. And it's found in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 13. Let's start in verse 12. The writer says, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness." And then in verse 13, he says, "There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up." There is that generation that is now. Sometimes it may be even me. Sometimes we get into the hectic life that we have, and it's all about me. It's what I think. It's what I want. It's my opinion. It's the only thing that matters. I don't care what anybody else says. You know, that's an eye problem. And tonight, I want to look at four quick things and to see if we actually have an eye problem. And sad to say that I've probably failed at all four of these. And we can probably go through more and more, but I want to look at four quick things tonight. And the first one is, you might have an eye problem if you're constantly criticizing others. Are you one of those Christians that constantly criticize? There are those who I've been around. It may have been me from time to time that will criticize others. When you hear about our brothers and sisters that are sinning, something's happened to them. You've heard that they may be drinking. They may be involved in this kind of sin or whatever. I have heard Christians and may have even said it myself. I cannot believe those folks. He knows better. She knows better. How can they do such a thing? And we're just constantly biting. It has some real serious tone behind it, some real bite behind it. You know, I'd never done anything like that. I'm not saying that we don't need to address those things. If we know about it, we need to confront those brothers or sisters that are living in sin, but we need to be careful of how we say it. We don't need to be so critical of people. You know, we can't say it how we want to or say what I think. They should be doing this or they should be doing that. We can't come across as someone who's better than that person who may be struggling with sin. And you know why? It's found in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. You all know the passage. It says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us has. I don't have a right to be so critical of somebody else because I've got sin in my life that I've had to be forgiven of. And I would dare say that everybody here has. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 John and verse 8. 1 John 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in it. We can't say that we don't have any sin or we can't act like it. So therefore, we need to be very careful of how we talk about other brothers and sisters that may be struggling with sin, because we've all had sin in our life. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, in verse 3 starting. Look at what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had to say. Before we start criticizing, we better be very careful of how we're living. And in verse 3 he says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful of what we say about our brothers and sisters. And again, we need to treat them in a loving, kind manner if we know that they're participating in some kind of sin. If they're struggling, we can't come out of them, especially if we've got problems in our own lives. And we better be very careful that we need to remove those things out of our lives before we go crashing down on someone else. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 14. Notice what Paul says and the kind of attitude that we need to be careful about. He warns us in verses 14 and 15. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." But notice verse 15. "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you not consumed one another." Again, we have to have a loving attitude when we approach our brothers and sisters who may be struggling. Somebody else may struggle with a sin that I don't struggle with, but I don't need to be so judgmental because I've got the things in me. And I've come across brothers and sisters, and I've been in the same shape sometimes. I just want to talk about other people. And before you know it, we're snipping and fighting at one another. And then before you know it, the whole church is involved, the whole congregation. And we're picking and choosing sides. We're devouring one another. And we don't have the loving attitude that Paul says that we need to be careful about. Again, that it's not about me or my opinion. It's about Scripture, living with God, and it's about our brother and sister. And how are we going to treat them? Are we going to be snippy with them, talk about them behind their back? Or are we going to try to help them overcome the problems that they got? Brethren, our attitude should be one of caring and compassion. Turn, if you will, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory," but notice the end of the verse, "but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Again, it's not about me. It's not about me criticizing someone else to make myself feel better. It's about care and concern for those that are more important than myself. We need to help our brothers and sisters that are struggling. Turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Here Paul says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying." Not for the use of destroying one another. We don't need to use our mouth for that. We don't need to be so harsh and critical. Time and time again, I have to check myself. When people lead singing, best that you've ever heard, or the congregation that we go to may not be the best singing, and I'm critical of it. But if the poor brother is up there doing the best that he can do, what should my attitude be? It should be for one for edifying. I don't need to be sitting in the pew thinking to myself, this is the worst I've ever heard. Again, I got an eye problem if I do that. It's about the brother that is up here giving his all to lead us in singing. We need to be careful, again, of how the tone. We don't need to be acting or coming across as superior to one another. We're not. Again, we need to help people. We don't need to criticize, saying that they should know better. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And this one really hits home to me. When I find out that a brother or sister may be involved with sin, I don't need to sit back and say, they should know better. How dare they participate in something like that? They were raised better than that. Notice what Paul says. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of harshness. It's not what he said. In the spirit of meekness or gentleness. Go to them, considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. Then in verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Again, if I'm critical, if I'm harsh in the way I treat my brother and sister, I've got an eye problem. We need to be concerned about our brothers and sisters and build them up, edify them, and bring them along. What about you this evening? Do you have an eye problem with that? Let's look at the second one. You might have an eye problem if all you care about are your possessions. Do you know people, or it might be you, that constantly talk about what all they've accomplished in this life? You may hear people that talk about, I've got this big, fine 3,500 square foot house. I've got a place down on the river. I've got the newest of new cars, the best that money can buy. And if you've got all those things, that's great. But is that all you're concerned about? Is it because of you that you have those things? I don't think so. We're currently studying in Lynn's class, in the adult class back there, and we're studying Ecclesiastes. And we came through Proverbs and now we're in Ecclesiastes. Those two books will really hit you hard if all you're worried about are possessions. And in this society, it's so driven, the more you have, the better person that you are. The better in society, the higher up that you are. And we are all kind of trained in society to go out and get all you can get. Ecclesiastes, the writer there, which I think is Solomon, had it all. He had seen everything under the sun. He had everything his heart desired. And you know what his conclusion was? None of that matters. It's not about that. And he concludes with the book that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's what life is about. But again, we get so tied up in this world. And it brings it home when here at Christmas time and with your kids, they're wanting more and more. The older they get, they want more. They want the best. You see kids that are my kids' age at school, when they turn 15, they get brand new Camaras, brand new Mustangs. They've got to have the best of everything. And that's not what life is about. It's not about me and what all I can gain. It's about fearing God and keeping his commandments. Turn, if you will, to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 8. Notice what the writer says about man and all of his wants and all of his wishes. Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 8. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. And over in Proverbs chapter 27, in verse 20, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. You see what the writer is saying? And it is so true. You see it every day all around us. We have a lot, but are we thankful for it? Do we realize who it came from? But no, the more that we get, the more that we want. And we may start working more and more hours. You may start neglecting your spiritual life. And that's when you have an eye problem, is when that's all that you care about. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. You know, I am blessed to have a very good job that I can take care of my family. I'm blessed to have a nice house and two vehicles that run and the ability to pay the power bill and to buy groceries. But is it because of something that I did? Has nothing to do with me. Now, I've got to go give the effort and work, but it all comes from God. He provides for that. Verse 3 in Romans chapter 12, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith." I don't need to think that everything that I've got is because of something that I've done, or how great I am and how talented I am of my position at work has nothing to do with me. I don't need to have an eye problem and think about that. I need to praise God and thank God that He saw fit to bless me and to take care of my family. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. "And even if I am working so hard to get the bigger and better house," and I'm not saying, and I don't want people to come across saying that I say that it's wrong to have all of those things. It's not. If the Lord has blessed you with those things, that is great. But our attitude, if it's about me, that again, as the writer in Ecclesiastes and Proverbs said, if I'm trying to gain more and more, get bigger and better things because I like it, what good does it do you? If I spend my entire time working 50, 60, 70 hours a week to get the best of everything, what good does it do me? Absolutely nothing. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. Here Jesus said, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Is it worth giving up the very thing that we have, that God has provided to us, our whole soul? Is the only thing that matters the destination of our soul? Is it worth all of those things that we're striving to gain in this life? And the writer in Ecclesiastes again tells us it's all vanity. It means nothing. The most important thing is your soul, and where is it headed? So this evening, well, before I move on, there's one thing. Does that sound familiar from a story in Luke chapter 16? Turn, if you will, over there. Or Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. Remember the parable of the rich fool? Did he find out about gaining all that he could gain? How important that was? I think he did. I think he learned the hard way. And look what Jesus in the parable that he taught. "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." Let me get to the right place again. I don't know if I'm... Yeah, I've got it. "And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself." Did you notice that? He thought within himself. Notice how many times he says himself or I. "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" You see, he had an eye problem. God blessed him. His barns were overflowing, but it didn't have anything to do with him. But he thought he did, and he lost it all. He lost the most important thing, and that was his soul. And brethren, we have to be very careful. I have to be very careful that I don't get caught up in the things of this world trying to build more and more of my possessions, because that's not what is important. If I'm doing that, I have an eye problem. Let's look at the third one. You might have an eye problem if you think you're better than those of the world. Again, have you ever heard of a Christian, or you yourself and myself may have said things that sounds like that we are better than the people of the world just because we're Christians? I'm a better person than that person. I've heard people say that I am not going to talk to them because of that lifestyle they live in, or just the kind of things that they're doing. They're drinking, they're involved in all kind of things, and I'm just not going to have anything to do with them. I don't need to hang around. Brothers and sisters, that's an eye problem if we have that kind of attitude. And again, I know that we have to have care and concern for people. But if we have the air of superiority and we don't want to have anything to do with them, what good do we do? It's an eye problem. I'm only concerned about myself. I'm better than they are. I'm not going to hang out with those type of people. And I'm not saying hang out with them, but we have to associate with those people. We have to talk to them. As a Christian, I am not better than the people of the world. I can't be picking and choosing who I'm going to talk to, who I'm going to teach, who I'm going to try to bring to Christ, because I have judged them unworthy, and that I don't need to waste my time in talking and teaching with them. That's an eye problem. Turn, if you will, to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. You know, I don't need to look down on anybody in the world, because what is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sins not." You know, I sin just like everybody else. We all sin, as we found out in Romans chapter 3. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Those people are sinners. I was a sinner. But you know what? I'm better off than those. I'm not better than those people. I'm better off. Because you know why? Jesus Christ. I've come to Him. I've given God and Jesus my life. I've been baptized and have been forgiven of my sins. I'm better off than those people. I'm not better than they are. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 5. And look at verse 8. "But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Those people that I may deem unworthy for me to talk to because of the lifestyle they live in, that's not good, folks. Who died for them just like He died for me? It was Jesus Christ. And I need to have the love and care and concern for those people to share the love of Christ with them so that they will be better off as well. That's caring about others. That's not being an eye problem for me. And look at what our Master Himself did over in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Starting in verse 9. "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And He said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." And you want to see somebody that has an eye problem? Look who comes on the scenes. "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I don't need to be picking and choosing who I need to share the gospel with. We need to take it to the sick folks. Anybody that we come in contact with as a Christian myself, I don't need to be judgmental that they don't need to hear that. They're never going to listen. Look at the lifestyle that they're living. No, I need to care and have concern about their soul and try to share the gospel with them so that they will become better off just as I am. To help understand that we're not any better, or that we are not better than anybody, I came across an illustration as I was coming up with this lesson, and it said that there were two skydivers who went up in a plane to 20,000 feet. One jumps out with a parachute, and the other jumps without one. Is the one with the parachute a better skydiver than the one without? One's not better than the other. They both jumped out of the plane. Does it mean that the one with the parachute is a better skydiver? No, the one with the parachute is better off than the other one. And why is that? He's going to land safely. The other one will not. So he's better off. Again, I am not better off than the people of the world. I am not better than the people of the world. I'm better off. Turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And that's what we need to get across to those of the world. I'm better off because if I pass from this life and I've lived the way that I need to do because Jesus Christ and God has forgiven me of my sins, that when time does come to leave this earth and I stand before Him in judgment, I'm better off. You and I are better off than those of the world, but I'm not a better person. Their soul is just as valuable as mine, and we need to be concerned about the people of the world. And if we're not, then we may have an eye problem. And the last one I want to look at tonight is you might have an eye problem if you are neglecting others. So many times in this busy life, we get caught up. I mean, the older that my kids get, it seems like we run from the time we get up in the morning until we go to bed. We're running to this sporting event. We're going to this 4-H thing or this thing or that. All over. And it just seems like I don't have time to do anything. But you know what? If I'm forgetting about my brothers and sisters and I'm neglecting them, I may have an eye problem. I choose to do those things. I choose to get involved with this and that, extracurricular activities. But you know what? If you've gotten the list tonight of all those members that are sick, a lot of people are sick. A lot of people are struggling with diseases. A lot of people are shut in. Do you know how happy those people are to see us if we just take the time out of our busy life and just to stop by and say hello? It thrills them. We've had so many people lose loved ones lately. How many of us took the time to go visit? Or was I just too busy? That I had to do something for work. I had to do something with my kids. We had sporting events. If I'm all tied up in that and I'm neglecting my brothers and sisters who are in need, I've got an eye problem. And I need to adjust that. The older that I get, the more I realize it's not about me. It's about others. And that's what Jesus wants us to be. It's what God wants us to be, is a servant. A servant to others. Again, there's so many opportunities to do right or to do good. Even in this community, there was recently a classmate of my children, a day or so ago, their house went up in flames and they lost everything right here at Christmas time. We have an opportunity to do good. We may not can do much, but when we hear about those type of things, how does that look as us as Christians, that we care about them? These people were not Christians that I'm aware of, but we can do good. We need to always be about doing good, thinking about others. We need to neglect ourselves more often. But why is it that we don't do well? Why do we not take advantage of those opportunities? Again, it may be because I'm too caught up in my own life. The I problem. The me problem. And it may be that I just don't want to give up my time or my money. Again, as I said earlier, it's about me being a servant. Turn, if you will, to 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Notice that, minister one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Romans chapter 12. Verses 9 and 10. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Notice what he says at the very end. In honor, preferring one another. Not preferring myself. Not what about me. It's not about I. It's about preferring one another. That's what we should be about. Serving one another. James 1 chapter, and verse 27. Another familiar passage. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. Don't have any orphans here that I'm aware of, but we've got widows. We've got several widows. And it's a great thing that we do here as a group together at this time of the year, that we'll go visit the widows and the shut-in, and we'll share a little bit of time with them and share a flower with them. But how many of us do that? We may only do it at that one time a year, at this time in December. Do we forget about them the rest of the time? They're still there. And it's my duty as a Christian to be concerned about them and give up some of my time for them. And then in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. The writer here says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Brothers and sisters, we have a lot of weak brethren. I might be weak at some point. As a servant and as somebody that should be caring about my brother and sister, I need to check on them. I don't need to be critical of them because they may be missing or they may be involved in something they don't need to be. I need to be supportive. I need to be searching them out and lifting them up and bringing them on. That's being a servant. There is so much to do here at Oakland. There's a lot of work to do, and there's work that each and everybody here in this audience tonight can do. We sing a song, just a cup of cold water in his name. Again, just take the time. Don't let it be about you. Let it be about them. Well, these are just a few of the things that I wanted to examine. We could have gone on and on about things, about the eye problem. And what I mean by the eye problem is just another name for pride. Do we have a pride problem? It's a very dangerous condition if it's not treated. Turn, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. And verse 18. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. If we let pride slip in, it takes over. And when it's all about us and when it becomes all about us, that's our downfall. It will take us down. What about you tonight? Are you struggling with an eye problem? Do you need help? It doesn't have to be a fatal disease. And it's not a fatal disease. You know why? Because there's a cure. And in chapter 5, verse 5, here's the cure. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. What about you, brothers and sisters? Let's get rid of the eye problem. I need to get rid of the eye problem. Let's be about the business of serving others. If you're subject to the gospel invitation in any way tonight, we ask that you come while we stand and sing.